So Julia, here we are, Nederland, yeah, Niederfayen 18B, at the headquarters of Elkjøp. Elkjøp Norge, Elkjøp International.
Nordic.
Of course. So Julia, tell me a little bit, or tell me a lot, how you have been given the Innovasjonskoppen, because I know a little bit about your history and your career. And this cup is for people that have done something extraordinary, in my eyes at least, mm-hmm. and something for innovation, for technology, something for the and for something for Norway as a whole. And I think that you are absolutely in that group, together with me and some other.
Of course.
So let's start. Let's talk a little bit about how did you. Give me a summary of your career. Try to put in mental bullet points.
Yes.
And because this will be ChatGPT text afterward. Okay?
Yes, I shall try my best, and ChatGPT will help me.
Yes.
And I think the whole career, or how can one sum up in one word, is by saying yes. And that has been always my mentality. You know, one thing is what you study. But what you become when you grow up, it can be completely different things. You just always have to be moving forward and see opportunities and always keep on developing. Yeah. So I think if you would have asked me around 20 years ago when I was still just in Finland studying, I would have never thought that my journey would take me here in Norway in the end. And I think the first kind of milestone was the fact that I actually said yes to move to London and do it my master's there. That was a big step because, again, leaving Finland behind was quite scary at that point, and I'm a small town girl.
Which year are we talking about?
Now we are talking about
2005, 2006,
yes.
Yeah, okay.
So it's like ages ago, and I was at that point, I had actually a very good job after university. I was a brand manager for this youth brand, and I could travel to Paris to buying clothes. Like, why did I go, right? I had like quite good career
question.
opportunity there as a 21-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
But London came, and I was thinking, you know, I actually know all the answers in my job. I knew everything. I'd been working there, side of university a long time. Okay. So I thought, okay.
Okay.
I actually want to do something. This is the time to actually go and try something new.
Yeah.
So 3 years in London, did my master's, had to really, it was difficult to find a job. So it was also very kind of good experience to try to feel really the hunger, literally and mentally. And landed again in retail in Marks & Spencer's. And after that, when I had my degree on business management, I got into a small company that was doing the affiliate marketing. That wasn't a big thing then, you know, putting offline material into newspapers and banners into, like, that's like old school.
Yeah.
And that, I think, was one of those milestones in my career that I got contacted by a headhunter who had seen us doing this work.
One in London.
In London, to go to Zalando. And Zalando at that point in Nordics was nothing. They had just started going into the Nordics. They mm-hmm. were quite big in Europe, mm-hmm. but for us it was a startup. Mm-hmm. And it was quite a risky decision to kind of just go to Berlin. And actually, to be honest with you, when I was in that final interview with Zalando, I did not know that the job was actually in Berlin. I thought the job would be in Helsinki. So I had to do very fast life decisions on the spot. And suddenly I was in Berlin. I was a brand manager for Zalando for almost 3 years.
For the whole Zalando?
For Zalando Nordics, yes.
Nordics, yeah.
So then bringing the brand into the Nordics, also Norway, that was really, and you know, Zalando was very innovative already at that time. We had click chain, you had the data, you could actually know exactly what customers are doing online. What are they liking, what they're not liking. And they had at that point testing everything, and everything developed in-house. So I kind of did really hard e-com school. And we really, really cracked the market here.
Mm-hmm.
So competitors that may be laughing at us in 2012 with free returns and deliveries, they were not laughing so much.
No, not anymore. After a year. No, not anymore.
No, they really like, kind of, I feel like we changed the whole industry of how people see e-commerce and mm-hmm. what kind of terms and conditions they expect mm-hmm. e-commerce store to have. Mm-hmm. And after that, you know, Viking took me to the Norway, and that's still
those happened. Vikings.
Oh, goddamn Vikings. and then I had a very great success at Telenor. Yeah. Also, then was still, you know, part of Telenor Digital, who was really innovative and had an opportunity to be a product owner for an offer API. That was also a very, very groundbreaking invention from Telenor, who understood that people or players like YouTube, they have a problem in those emerging countries like in India, where people are suddenly, you know, they are actually, they're not aware that they have bad connection, not because they have a bad connection, but because they don't have data. And how to get them to buy data, more data immediately when they need it. On the spot, we found a solution that actually helped to mask the identity. So you could, with GDPR rules, according to GDPR rules, still prompt the customer on the spot.
Yeah, because GDPR was not a thing at that time.
Yeah, it was starting to be a thing.
Okay.
And that was kind of masking that identity. So it actually masked the identity so that you could, I could ask you, Salvador, hey, do you want to buy more data just based on your consumption and not in knowing anything about you.
Yeah.
And that mechanism after that has been implemented, not only the YouTube, but also Facebook, and that's Offer API is one team that is still lives from Telenor Digital today and is still existing and growing. So I think that was also, but that was also a big school for me because when I started, I didn't even know what API was.
Oh.
Yes. So that's, again, sometimes you have to just jump into it. Yeah. And things happen. And after Telenor, pleasure to be in DNB, working with DNB.no. And that was also a very, really interesting journey. I had a fantastic team. And there I actually got a reward for being the most bravest.
The bravest.
The bravest leader in the personal market.
You were the bravest leader of the... Oh, not bad. Yes, so not bad, me. Because DNB is a very big organization.
They are, that was really, really... I am still to the day, I'm very honored about that prize because it was really... And I wouldn't say that it was only me, it was the whole team that we just kind of decided to do things differently.
Yeah.
We brought IT and the business together and we worked on the same agenda and we were actually all focusing on, okay, how do we actually make a small startup organization inside a big incumbent bank?
Okay.
And now it doesn't sound so much, but on those days it was still...
It was quite a
revolution.
And I remember that was at that time that I met you, or we met together. We met each other.
Yes.
And at that time you were very into this... I remember that you were very into this...
Voice assistant. Yes, we actually launched the first voice assistant in whole Norway.
Mm-hmm.
So we were first partnering with Google and launched Bully Buddy.
Yeah.
So that Yes, so that was
that
fantastic.
Was
and there we also kind of learned again how you can use technology to help people. And that has always been kind of my driver as well. How can we use technology smartly? Right? How can we help every day? And moving from there to Aprila Bank, that was fully for SMEs, a digital bank. Again, how can we help small and medium-sized companies to get loans, get help, and improve the processes? Also very much innovation. And it was in Corona times, so I feel very proud that I think Aprila saved many companies.
It's not because of nothing that you have got your innovation scopen.
Thank God.
Thanks God. You were trembling. Evidence. Will I not?
No, I know. Okay. Validation.
Good. So we are at Aprila Bank. Aprila Bank.
Yes.
And then there was the transition to present job.
Yes. And
what are you doing here?
Here I'm a director for e-commerce for the four markets, and we are doing innovation every day. Like many people don't know, you know, you see from outside, you think, okay, the electronics retailer, what's happening? But there's so much happening in the background on how we have changed both our platform and how we are using technology to make that customer journey smoother. We are doing a lot of personalization. We are using algorithms to personalize experiences for the customers, make a lot of A/B testing to make sure that the journey actually is. And I hate to say word personalization because I think there's a bit of a hype around personalization.
Okay, for I don't think it is.
For me, it's because people are always like, okay, how can we really tailor this journey for you, like for you, Salvador? How can we be really personal? But the point is, you have to look into what data do you have and what data actually drives value and what kind of insight do you get from that data that drives value that you use for something useful.
How do you... If I'm allowed to ask, how do you do that? How do you filter the how do you know which data you need, which data you knew, or you need actually, And how do you filter out the ones that you don't need, and how do you filter in the ones that you need?
You basically, first of all, you have to have the good tools, not only look at performance data, but actually customer data. That is behavioral data, what our customers do. Because customers online, they're talking to us with every click, with every bounce, with every purchase. If you have the data of what customers are doing on your site, how they're scrolling, how they're browsing, how they're moving from different parts to another, then you have that. So we have implemented a tool called Content Square. I don't want to be too much naming suppliers.
No, but it's
they are super good, I must say. I'm really, really satisfied because they're giving us an insight on what is actually happening on the site. And then we have data that kind of has a hypothesis. Okay, here customers are stuck. Here they don't understand what to do. Here they're bouncing. Here they're adding something to cart.
Nice.
But for some reason, they're not buying it. Why is that? And then that is the base how we start doing A-B testing. And then we test. We have a tool called Dynamic Yield where then we're doing tests constantly in different parts in the four markets, testing all the different customer actions and how can we improve. So then basically we are using the data that actually gives value, where we see that there is a challenges or opportunities for improve. And then we not just assume that we know the solution, but we test. And then we see when statistical significant results are there, then we can actually implement the solution and we iterate. And it never stops. This is how you grow.
No, you can't stop, right? Of course. I mean, that was very interesting. And then, and of course, one of the reasons why you've got the Innovationskoppen is because I think that when you are, when you share what you know, because you do it a lot.
It's important.
It's important. And I think that this may inspire other people to see what is possible to achieve and to see what is possible to do. And that's one of the reasons. I mean, I think that you are very good at not only doing, but showing the way for others so they also do.
Thank you.
And that's totally inspiring. And I think that Norway needs more people like you from the country or not from the country. But Norway needs more people than you. And that's why you got the cup, the Innovationskoppen.
Thank you.
And then I liked it very much what you said about saying yes. I have a kind of life motto, which is always show up.
That's a good motto.
It's a good motto. And I think it's quite the same. It's like, what's the alternative? Sit at home and watch Skal Vi Danse Sesong
exactly. That's very 23. Tempting. That's very tempting.
Or not.
But I think that's the kind of the whole point, you know. I think when we are working, you know, we are trying to lift the whole industry, right?
Yeah.
And for me, it's very important. That's also that you should always respect your competition. And of course, sometimes people say, okay, if you're sharing, are you... But again, when you know what you are the best for, helping the whole industry and helping the e-commerce industry to rise, that will help your customers to have better experiences, pushes you forward, because then you get better tools, better measurement tools, people are more. It's basically, you know, it's kind of like a circle of good, because if you have actually an economy around you that people are e-com driven, because there's still a lot of, if you compare us to some European markets or even US, or even not even talk about what's happening with social commerce and how the
Asia
is going. It's like not even, you cannot even compare. So we need to, for us to still survive and remain competitive, we need to push ourselves forward. And I'm always, you know, I'm really candidate for data literacy. I think it's very important that everyone and the people around us start taking technology and, you know, close to heart, that you have to understand that you cannot be afraid of it. And I hope that one can be a bit of a, not a role model, but just lead by example, by doing, by showing that it is possible. And if you, even if you have low budget, even you don't have all the tools, still it's not an excuse to not start.
Very good. Very, very nice way to think when it comes to small and medium-sized enterprises.
Yes.
So very nice. And you know what, with some, as like Norwegian said, med disse kloke ord. Vi avslutter.
Tusen takk.
Thank you very much,
ABT, Julia. ABT, always be tested.
Yes, thank you very much. Bye.